Item number four, from the Park East Square LLC, submitting an informational report on the current project plans for the Block 1, also known as Block 26, development project located in the Park East Corridor. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Morning,
you can
ma'am.
Pull up some additional chairs
ma'am.
If that helps.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair.
Good afternoon.
If I may, in advance of these folks sharing the recent development with the committee, if I may, I'd just like to take us back to a point in time whereby Park East Square Development acquired the land, the first block in the Park East, from the county in December of 2007. At that point in time, things were rather tumultuous, and in turn, the project financing that they had in place was rescinded. So since that point in time, this group has had, or at least a portion of this group, has had a long-standing relationship with this committee, attempting to find a revised project mix or alternative funding sources that would allow this project to advance. They have been doing so over a period of several years, and in turn, I think what the group has to share with you is a very good development whereby I think this project now has the ability to move forward and where brick and mortar will be coming out of the ground. So with that, I introduce Pam Opet from Parkey Square, and in turn, she'll share a few words with you, and I'll allow her to introduce to you the new folks to the right of her.
Hi, my name is Pam Opet, and I'm a manager of Park East Square. I'm here to share some developments with you that we believe will move the Park East Square project forward. We have recently entered into a partnership agreement with Stu Wangard and Wangard Partners, a well-respected development firm that's headquartered in Milwaukee. Stu and his team will be the lead partner and developer of Phase 1, which is an 86-unit residential building with 256 parking spaces and 14,600 square feet of retail. Stu and his team will also be the lead partner and developer of Phase 2, which is a 95-unit residential building. Phase 3 will be retained by Parkey Square for future mixed-use development. The contemplated program is very similar to the approvals and discussions that we've had with the committee in the past, but we will need to come back, our group and staff will need to work together and come back for approval of a new development agreement that will formalize our partnership and also slightly modify the original program mix. We sincerely appreciate your continued support of Parkey Square. We know it's been a long road that we've all traveled together. We believe Parkey Square will be the success story we have worked so hard for and something we'll all be proud of. And I'd like to introduce you to Stu Wainwright.
Hi, thank you for your time today. Also with me today is Wayne Wurtzma. Wayne is president of Wainwright Partners. Our firm has been active as a real estate developer and investor since 1992. In 2000, we acquired a parcel of land from Milwaukee County. I think you're probably all familiar with the history of that. It's now the home of High Point Office Center. It's High Point generated a tremendous amount of tax revenue over the years, created quite a few jobs, and has met all the goals that the county asked for. And we far exceeded the goals that were requested on the MBE, job creation end of it. Our firm has steadily developed since 1992, we've grown to the point where we're from northern Illinois to Minneapolis. But our home is still here, and the majority of the work that we do is in the metropolitan Milwaukee area. And the lion's share of it is within the city of Milwaukee. As you all are aware, since 2008, we've had, not we being the firm, but the economy in general has been very, very tough. Real estate, and our firm has continued to develop during that period. We've created a significant amount of jobs in the community, and we hope to go and bring this property to fruition and deliver a nice project and hopefully kick off additional development along the Park East corridor. I'm here to answer any questions you may have about our company, about our past projects, and about our performance within the city area. Would you like to see what this is going to look like?
Absolutely.
Pam, if you could please handle the description. You're every bit as familiar with this as I am.
Phase one project is this whole piece, so 86 units, L-shaped, 14,600 square feet of open space for all the facing the project town. And then parking on the lower level and the platform is hold 256 space. Phase two would be 95 unit residential building is here and it will connect to the first story.
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, again, the reason we felt it was important to step forward today and share the slightly revised project mix and the new partnership group is the fact that now staff and the group will have to work together to put together the revised development agreement and the necessary documentation that would memorialize this new group. As you recall, the development agreement for the initial project with the initial partner is currently in place, and that would have to be formalized. And that's why we're saying to you that we will commence that work in order to bring a full packet back to you for approval. And the idea being is that, as was done with the first group and project, that they in turn will work with Ms. Webb regarding the Park East compliance plan, so that will be a part of the packet as well. So what you will get is a complete packet to consider for approval.
Supervisor?
So, thank you. Remind me, if you would, how the project mix has changed and the values, what the value is expected of this project versus what we last had agreed to.
Madam Chair, the project that they've just basically shared with you is one of the evolution projects that have come to place in the recent 4 years.
Right.
In the beginning, it really was dramatically different in the sense that it was condominiums. There was a retail component, there was parking, there was a condominium component, and there was a hospitality component that was a part of the project that came before you that you approved in entirety. I think now what they're saying is that this has a residential component in the first two phases. It still has that retail component. That third phase is probably one that has yet to be clearly defined, but in turn, all in all, over the last 4 years, I think it has evolved into what you have before you.
So somewhere I saw a $20 million value. Was that for all three phases, or is that the first two phases?
Phase one is about $20 million.
Do you have a sense of what phase two is?
I would say it was about $16 to $18 million.
Yes, because it will not have yes. Madam Chairperson, phase one includes parking, retail, and apartments, and phase two will be primarily apartments. There will be a parking component associated with it.
Interesting. Okay. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Supervisor number one. I just have a question, and I'm not an architect, clearly. And I'm wondering why all the new development looks like that. We have, I mean, being honest, like, all over my district, we have new buildings coming in, and they all look exactly like that. And, I mean, architecture is, like, a way to, you know, express yourself creatively if you want to, and it's just, you know, behind Altera, the apartments look like that. There's new apartments on First Street, they look like that. All downtown, there's, you know, I'm just wondering why, if that, this is just, when we look back at, you know, the new millennium, this is going to be the building, you know, nobody thinks outside the box and everything just kind of looks like this, or just exactly what the deal is.
That's a hard question to answer. Maybe. Did you expect that question?
Madam Chairperson, actually I'm very comfortable with that question. It's a very good one. This has been about the third design that has come forward. And one of the things that we want to do is create more of a larger roof overhang. And the perspective probably doesn't give a best picture as far as what we're trying to convey. This is going to have a little bit more of a prairie-style feeling. The most recent plan, and this is one that's been created last week, has more windows in it. And what we try to do with our developments is bring in a lot more natural light into the project. That's a very important part of it. So we have larger windows. The roof overhang is important. It helps with some solar shading and lowering the energy load on the building. And then storefront windows, clear glass storefront windows are important. And this is a combination of the overall development guidelines for it, for the Parkview corridor, along with the city guidelines. Their goal is to activate the street, bring in more people in 24/7 into the city. You need retail on the first floor to make that work, and there's only a handful of ways where you can go and work with retail storefronts to make that happen. We typically use brick for the up to the first three floors of a building, and then we use a non-masonry material on the fourth floor. We have other projects underway right now. We have a very nice project on Water Street just off of Humboldt. A little bit different design again. And we felt that this tied in very well. As you move towards the city, it's a sense of time and place. It does a better job as far as saying, okay, we're tying in now with more of a commercial district, but yet it's still residential. I hope that makes sense.
It does. I just, you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm just too creative. I'm not sure. I just, when every building starts looking the same, it's like, all right, well, that's nice if it's a Dr. Seuss movie, but I just wanted to make one comment, and that is in regards to the Park East and the perk that's in place. I want to make sure that this particular developer is very aware of the fact that that's something that this county board holds very near and dear, and that we will be making sure. I would also like to say, and it's definitely not part of the perk, but I would like to say for myself that, you know, I always think that it's nice when we see developers in front of us who have a commitment to things like living wage, and offering benefits to our employees. We're in an extremely tight economy, and I, for one, I don't understand how people live without health insurance and or being able to take days off and things like that. So I think it's important. I think it makes a great statement to the people that you're trying to do business with and in the communities that you're doing business with that you have a firm commitment to meeting and exceeding not only standards set on you by the municipality that you're trying to do business with, but that just within the, you know, the realm of being a good neighbor and being a good steward of community dollars, that you would take good care of your employees. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Mr. Dillman, will you briefly remind us of the perk requirements for not only the DBE participation, but for wages, et cetera?
Madam Chair, if my memory serves me correctly, the Park East, the PERC, the Park East Redevelopment Compact, comprises several components, one being as the disadvantaged business enterprise participation. That's the percentage participation with professional services of the project, as well as the construction component of the project. The other component is the prevailing wage. Other components that are a part of it that are not necessarily a mandated, and Mr. Boltman, you're very well versed in this, so correct me if I'm wrong, there are other components of the PERC that we encourage developers to consider. That might be apprenticeship, it might be green design, it may be those things that allow them to reach out into the community to immerse others into the project. So in other words, there are other parts of it that are, you know, beyond the percentages and the dollars and cents that are asking them to consider within the project. And our hope, and again I echo the fact that as part of this new project that will be coming before you, that the PERC compliance plan will in turn have all those elements a part of it for your consideration.
Mr. Bowman?
Yeah, and I have nothing to add. You did a good job of that. One thing that's been misspoken about is affordable housing is not required, but when we evaluate whether we select a development, we consider whether affordable housing is in the project or not. But the PERC requires the county to provide affordable housing at a different location if it's not included in this project. And I think that's been misstated quite often. This is supposed to be market-driven housing in most cases. But if we have two competing projects and one has affordable housing, we give it many more points in the evaluation process. So, and they have to comply with all of the city's zoning and other planning requirements, and that's also been misspoken. We do not require for zoning anything different than what the city requires.
So they will need to comply to both the city PERC and the county PERC.
Yeah, I'm sure they will.
Madam Chair, as well as alluded to by Ms. Bongard, the city's redevelopment plan for the Park East has criteria components, which in turn have to be satisfied by the city.
And you're hoping, oh, I'm sorry, Supervisor Weschel, you see.
Oh, yeah, no, I was thinking of a question. So. Thank you, Madam Chair. Could you just go over briefly the members of this new partnership? Not quite familiar with what the makeup of this new group is going to be?
The new group is made up of Wangard Partners, and I'm not sure if that's the exact name of your entity.
It'll be a different entity. Wangard Partners is primarily a service company. It does not hold any real estate.
So it's an LLC of Wangard Partners. Park East Square is a minority member, and we have formed Park East 2. LLC, which is a new LLC that will develop phases 1 and 2.
Okay, can I ask from Mr. Dillman, because the reason I asked the question, because since we're going to need a new development agreement, I think it would be important to know very clearly of who we're doing business with and, you know, their backgrounds. I'm not familiar with some of the companies, the partners that you mentioned, and what kind of evolution it's kind of gone through to get to this point. So if you could just, you know, develop us something so we have a better knowledge of the people we're doing business with here.
I'd be happy to answer that. Sure. Madam Chairperson, as I mentioned earlier, our fund started in 1992. We've developed multifamily projects, commercial projects, industrial projects. And we'll talk about the last five years, and if you want, we'll go even further back than that. But actually, it's better if we go back a little bit. The most prominent project that we developed in years past was the High Point Office Center. It's a 130,000 square foot, four-story office building on the corner of Watertown Plank Road and Mayfair Road. And we bought the land from Walker County. That was done with pension fund, fully leased it up. It's home to many corporate headquarters. We repurchased the building from the Union Pension Fund approximately 3.5 years ago. At that time, it was 68% leased. It's now 94% leased. Again, we're pretty good about we're pretty good about identifying firms that want to grow in the Milwaukee metropolitan area. We developed a student housing project 4 blocks from the University of Wisconsin, Milwaukee. Major project, it replaced a former nursing home. Some of you may be familiar with the Downer Garage on East North Avenue. That had been sitting there, vacant and in poor repair for many, many years. Very complicated site, it was polluted. We worked with the local alderman, with the local business district, and we renovated that into a retail project. Small project, but it had a huge impact on the neighborhood. Currently, we are renovating the former Westbury Bank building on East North Avenue, and that again is for another commercial enterprise. PNC Bank will be going in there. At 1910 North Water Street, we have a 68-unit project going ahead. Very complicated site, very similar to Park East. It's being built to the side of the hill. 2 stories of masonry, 4 stories on top of that of housing. That is a HUD project. It's all prevailing wage. Majority of our jobs have pro-union bias. In Watertown, Wisconsin, we built 150,000 square foot building for U.S. Chemical. Very unusual project because that municipality gave us the proper support, so we were able to deliver that building in 106 days for U.S. Chemical. We have a 270,000 square foot manufacturing building immediately adjacent to that, and that houses 5 different firms. Those are some of the recent projects that we have going on. We have 4 other projects planned for the next 12 months mm-hmm. in this area. We've had very good support. We're one of the survivors. As some of you may be aware, almost 70% of the development industry has been wiped out in the last 4 years. The design industry has about a 40% unemployment rate right now. And construction has about a 25% unemployment rate right now. So this is a good chance to bring good jobs to neighborhoods and sections of the city that could use it. And we're very familiar with the PERC requirements, and we will follow the law, the letter, and the spirit of it.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That's great. I just would like to be clear and have it on a piece of paper in front of me. You know, I just like to know exactly what the partnership is made up of and who all the principal players are. That's what we're looking for. Thank you.
Mr. Dillman.
Madam Chair, if I may, perhaps and Will Schroyer is down on the end, legal counsel for the county and has been with the Park East for some time. I think the idea would be when the package comes back before this committee, that might be the appropriate time to share some of the detail of this respective marriage, so to speak, and then in turn, I think that should be helpful. Right now, it was really intended just to basically introduce you to the concept that we feel very comfortable about moving forward, and we will bring all the detail back to you.
Thank you.
If I could, Madam Chair, to the supervisor's question, it's an excellent question. The existing development agreement prohibits any other party from coming in and developing until completion of the project. You couldn't transfer it. And so, to the question, we will anticipate doing a separate development agreement for this parcel. And we will clearly describe who the parties are, who the participants are, and then again, I would anticipate we'd have that same prohibition of transfer or bringing new parties in until completion of construction. So I think that would be appropriate to perhaps even show a graphic at the time we come back with documents to explain who the parties are and how they fit in.
Can I ask what your timeline is? Are you hoping to come back in May or sometime later?
If we could come back earlier, we would.
So you're hoping for May, the May cycle. There's no cycle in between. So, just so you're aware, I'm sure Mr. Dillman's aware, but just to make sure that you're all aware, you've got new elections. You will probably have a new committee membership. You'll certainly have a new chair. So make sure that when the new folks all switch over, that everyone sits down and rebriefs everybody on this. We do have a couple individuals that from the audience have asked to speak. Peter Hanrahan, and then Bessel Hervey. Did I say that correctly? Do you want to come forward?
Okay.
Yeah, please do. Mr. Hanrahan, before you both speak, I just want to let you know I got your packet. I appreciate it. I know you gave that to committee members. The item that's before us deals with the planned project, so you need to tie in what concerns you have about the partners into that project. Otherwise, it's not properly noticed and agenda. So if you can, I know you have concerns about the developer and you want to share those, and that's fine, but it needs to be relatable to this project.
Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Okay. We'll do Mr. Hanrahan first, and then Ms. Hervey.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair and committee members. Supervisors, we're here today. You know, SEIU Local 1, we represent 1,000 workers here in downtown Milwaukee. We represent the downtown janitors at the Bradley Center, Marquette University, Miller Park, and the Wisconsin Center District. You know, 20 years ago, the janitors in downtown, the non-union, making $4.50 an hour for 3.5 hours a night. No benefits, no health insurance. SEIU Local 1, along with its international, conducted the Justice for Janitors campaign. And in that time, we've worked with building owners and contractors to move janitors from $4.25 an hour to $11 an hour with single health insurance and benefits and access to health insurance for their dependents. We also were able to make sure that there's a system in place that when janitors lost their job, when a new contractor came in, another contractor would pick up the current janitors in the building, what we call successorship. It was very important. That way we kept the same janitors in the same building year in and year out to make sure that the wages stayed the same and the benefits stayed the same. So we're very proud of what we see in moving what we call minimum wage jobs up to, you know, a fairly decent wage job. And it took a lot of hard work, a lot of sacrifice on the part of the members. You know, we're here today to inform the county supervisors about one of the developers that was currently mentioned, Weingart Partners. We think that it's important that the county supervisors understand that on November 30th, Weingart Partners kicked out the union contractor where the janitors were making $11 an hour and brought in a non-union contractor. The janitors now made $8.50 an hour. No access to affordable health insurance. So 12 janitors, that's included, lost their jobs and access to health insurance. Now these janitors are unemployed and rely on the Milwaukee County Health System for their health insurance and other social service needs. With that, I'd like to turn it over to Bessie.
Okay, my name is Bessie Hervey, and I'm a downtown janitor, and December 1st, I'm unemployed of last year. And I have worked at 875 building. I worked there for 10 years. And 10 years I was not sick, not late for work, none late for work, never been sick, never missed a day from work. And from that, I have never missed no work or anything like that. And then on top of that, the company that I did work for, I had worked for three different companies. And each one of them was like a turnover union. They were all union. But when this other union came in, that's when I lost my job as a non-union company. So after that, I lost all my health insurance, everything. So now, from that on, I'm now using what you call a clinic, city clinic, because if you don't have help, that's what you have to do. From Milwaukee, go to a public clinic for help, get high blood pressure, whatever. And after that, And right now, I'm 64 years old. And who you think gonna hire a person that's 64 years old? They may, it all depends. But I have never been sick so far. And I really can't afford to get sick, really. No insurance, I can't. And so on that, at 875 billing, that was a good, you know, for me, that was a good job. He pays my bills and everything. And other than that, I have talked to my alderman, which was Willie Wade, and he have talked to or called Mr. Wayne Garden, but I don't know what happened with that. But on that issue, I'm still paying taxes, and he want to build downtown. But I think that's my money he taking, my tax money. And I'm not happy with it. I'm sorry, but I'm not happy with it.
Mr. Henry, and so there was no successorship in that transfer?
Right. When they kicked out Regency Janitorial, then they hired a non-union contractor. We went to the building, Bessie and 12 other janitors went to the building looking for a job with the new contractor. They told us to go home. Okay. They wouldn't even let them work at the $8.50 an hour that they were offering. Right. And so why we're here today is we're saying, you know, SEIU has worked with building owners throughout downtown Milwaukee to help build. We worked with there's going to be a new hotel at the corner of Wisconsin and Broadway and Milwaukee. We've worked with them to make sure that thing got built. We want to see growth down here. We don't clean empty buildings, and we definitely don't clean parking lots. You know, we want to see growth, but it's got to be smart growth. And it's got to be smart growth with responsible owners. We worked with Gary Bruno for Manpower to make sure Manpower was built. And the janitors, once that building was built, the janitors, you know, since that place has been built, have been union janitors getting paid $11 an hour with single health insurance that everyone deserves. It's been a great system that's moved people forward. And we're looking forward to seeing the Park East being developed with owners that understand that method. And we tried to reach out to the building owner and inform them about this system that's worked so well for the men and women that clean the downtown office spaces. We're looking for the county supervisors to do the same thing and look into these owners that are going to do the development and make sure that they're responsible owners, that we make sure that we have a good downtown and a vibrant downtown with decent jobs. Because the number one thing that owners have is the long-term employees are the janitors that are always cleaning the buildings. And they have the most influence there.
Thank you very much,
County.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. I believe we have a question. Stay for just a second. Can you both stay? Supervisor Biddle?
Not so much maybe a question in some of my comments. But I think, and I speak for myself, and I think most of my colleagues, when I say that, you know, it's always good to see things happening in Park East, you know, considering the downturn of the local economy, the real estate market, things of that nature, and folks having problems getting you know, money, finances to do their construction. And so on one side, you know, I'm optimistic about the developments and seeing this project move forward. I wanted to give Mr. Weingart and SEIU time to present before I actually said anything. Because I want my comments to be pointed and not be misconstrued as anything but what it really is that in this city, and even in this county, in development, we bring in development, a lot of money development, and those jobs of construction are not going to individuals in the city of Milwaukee or Milwaukee County that actually need the jobs the most. If you look at, we're going to talk about some reports with the apprenticeship work group, you know, where we see that half of the apprenticeships in the state are from construction, the construction sector, and that, you know, I would encourage the board and the administration moving forward with these type of projects and these type of deals to make sure that we are, you know, putting pressure or coming to friendly agreements to use more apprentices on these construction projects to really look at the realities of the central city where there's high black male joblessness and making sure that we're connecting the dots and putting those folks who want to work in that community on these type of projects. I think that at this point, you know, it's good to hear about the PERC. It's good to hear about folks wanting to fulfill the spirit of the DBE, but we have to go beyond that. We have to do more. And so it's incumbent upon us as a legislative branch and as the administrative branch to really ask for more and have those conversations with responsible developers, responsible corporations that want to do more. Because I think the disparities and the crisis that we're under in the city of Milwaukee, being the fourth poor city, demands that type of attention, demands that type of action. So that's my first point. My second point is, it is disturbing to hear of folks losing benefits and losing pay. I don't think no one, you know, I was a union organizer. In full disclosure, I used to work for SEIU. In full disclosure, I know Bessie really well. And so it's not a good feeling to sit here and have to hear, you know, someone that worked hard to be a good steward in this city, to be a good resident, you know, being laid off and losing benefits and health care access, you know, in such a economic downturn. And I think that it's, you know, I don't know what the plans of how there'll be janitors in this new development or things of that nature, but to have those conversations too moving forward, you know, what does that workforce look like as well? You know, who do those jobs go to and what type of pay scale and benefits will be associated with those permanent jobs after the construction of this phase one is done? I think that's very important that we talk about that. I think it's very important that we identify that. And what I would say to to Mr. Weingard is, you know, I would actually like to hear his plans and to hear more. And I know it's a little bit off the subject at hand, Madam Chair, but if he could respond to why that those 12 janitors did lose those benefits, lose their jobs, lose those benefits, if you would allow that, Madam Chair.
Well, I have a staff person shaking his head no, but the developer shaking his head yes. So
overruled.
Mr. Weingard, would you come forward, sir? I think what we need to focus on is is interest in what you might be able to do with the new development. If you want to briefly touch on the past or the other, that's fine. But I think the biggest concern that we have is making sure that any project that we have a say on could help address some of these concerns.
Service Employees Union contacted us and said, I want to make John sure
level of employment. I said, are we competitive with benefits? We don't enjoy it. There's a union claim firm that was dismissed. There's a new firm that was hired. Curie said, we're providing better benefits. Now, I asked for it in writing. I had it confirmed in writing.
Okay, let's go back to the development for the Park East Square. When that retail goes in, will you have any direct control over the on-site janitorial, security, that type of staffing, or will that all be handled by the individual businesses that come in, or is there a property management?
Madam Chairperson, we typically manage all of our commercial real estate. Then the actual spaces, it's the manager of the store that will be the one doing hiring. There may be an instance where we may have a security guard there. That has not yet been determined. It's a very desirable neighborhood, but sometimes you have to run police people using their parking spots. And that's a situation we have across the street. It's such a desirable development across the street. They have a security guard that controls who gets the park there.
Well, obviously, I would hope that the administration with yourself and the supervisors can kind of get furthermore clarification on all the different components and SEIU so that we all kind of have understanding of not only what happened at other sites but also what our potential options for this development so that everyone at least knows what the facts are and where the opportunities are or aren't, I would hope.
We have a long and very healthy relationship with construction trades. And if you talk to construction trades, I think they'll tell you that the majority of the jobs that we do on the commercial side have a very heavy human component. This job will be prevailing wage. The job that you have at 1910 North Water Street is prevailing wage. We do not have, we are not getting any city subsidy on this. We're not getting any help from the county. There's no taxpayer money being used in this. But it's substantial taxpayer benefit.
All right, Supervisor Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Park East Redevelopment Compact took a while for us to pass and to put the provisions in place. And one of the reasons that was done was to make sure that those who were underemployed, who were unemployed, had an opportunity so that they could get good-paying jobs, decent-paying jobs. I've had conversations with common council, and I know that some of them are for prevailing wages and some of them are not for prevailing wages. And that's a matter of style. It's an individual's preference. But when it comes to legislation on public lands, even though the land is controlled by public governmental entities, and because that is the case, then those people who represent those public entities and represent constituents have no particular financial interests in mind or at stake for themselves, then we have to advocate and say what we have to say as it relates to how the provisions of our redevelopment compact should occur. And as I said before, this has happened overnight. Financially speaking, with respect to the downturn in the economy, that has hurt us tremendously. That has hurt us significantly. But the provisions of the redevelopment, the Park East redevelopment compact, are still in place unless there's at some point. That the county board is going to rescind such. So what I'm getting at is we're trying to help people who may be disadvantaged financially, economically, to get to a point where they can live a decent quality, have a decent quality of life as anybody else who has an opportunity to enjoy such. Even though, as Supervisor Bill said, that this is the fourth poorest community in the country as it relates to metropolitan areas, we can do better. So for what's been said, the provisions of the Parkview Street Development Compact apply, just they just apply all the time. People should be treated with respect. Whenever contracts are in place, they should be adhered to. They should be honored as contracts. And maybe the problem, maybe a problem is that the residential managers are given the power to do whatever they want to do as it relates to all the positive things that you said, Mr. Weingart, as it relates to giving back to the community, employing people, actually constructing, I would say, sound structures, doing whatever you can in order to not only make money, but to make this community a better community. So I just wanted to put that out there. I just want to put out there that these jobs are important to the individuals who have them, and we want them to receive decent wages, and we want them to receive benefits. So if something can be rectified in the past with respect to the managerial structure, I hope that can happen. But agreements has been put forward, and we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. But I just wanted to make that clear, that unless the redevelopment compact provisions are rescinded, they are what they are, and it's to help people raise their quality of life. Besides, build what needs to be built.
That's right.
Thank you. All right. Thank you very much. Let's go to item number 5. Thank you. Mr. Hanrahan,
yes.
Were you able to get one of these to every member of the committee?
Yes.
Okay. Madam Clerk.